Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back at you. Right back at you.
Back at you on a Sunday morning with Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. And across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can also listen on the app, which you can get at 810WHB.com. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here as well. We're live in the Rally House studios on a Sunday, a sunny Sunday morning. It's not easy to say. Sunny Sunday morning. A little bit of clouds out there, but not too much. Got a good show lined up for you today. Coming up at 9:30, Dave Nielsen is going to join us. He is a fantasy football expert. Consider him a friend of mine. He's probably in 57 different fantasy leagues. For a long time, did a TV show called Fantasy Huddle. So we're going to talk to Dave Nielsen. Actually, that's at 9:25 for Dave Nielsen. We'll talk fantasy football. At 10 o'clock, Nate Taylor from The Athletic KC will join us to talk Chiefs football. We'll talk about the cuts, the cutdowns, the final roster, which is not final yet because Brett Veach is most assuredly working the phones, checking the waiver wires, constantly hitting refresh. To find out who to add, they've added roughly 25 corners and safeties over the last couple of days after the cutdowns. I'm exaggerating, of course, but still areas to improve, and they can get some guys. So Nate Taylor at 10 o'clock. We'll also talk about the game upcoming this week against the Chargers. We'll get it all covered. At 11 o'clock, Andy Edwards from NBCSports.com will join us, talk a little Sporting KC. Not the best performance yesterday in Seattle. Lost 3-1. Graham Zusi had an own goal, which doesn't happen all that often, but Seattle's the hottest team in the world. They're the first team in the history of Major League Soccer. I heard Nate Bucati say this on the broadcast. The first team in the history of Major League Soccer since they did away with the shootouts to win 8 games in a row.
Do you know whose record they broke there, Brad?
First, was it Sporting or no?
It was Sporting.
It was Sporting, okay. So they broke Sporting's own record. I should have known because you asked. I did not hear that part of the equation, but 8 wins in a row. I mean, sometimes the unstoppable force meets the immovable object. And Sporting had not lost a game. They won every game in the month of August, so they were the immovable object. And Seattle's won 8 games in a row overall, and they're the unstoppable force. So Andy Edwards at 11 o'clock from NBCSports.com. At 11:30, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will join us to talk KU football. Yes.
Why wouldn't you?
KU
yeah.
football. And I was just reading his article on KCStar.com, and it's pretty, I don't want to use the word damning. It's a pretty big indictment of what happened yesterday against Nicholls State, so we'll get to that. So let me just rattle off a couple of quick things here. Royals won last night. Exciting stuff. Whit Merrifield with a 2-run walk-off bomb. And if you hadn't seen the highlight yet, I'm sure you can find it, but Brett Phillips was on base. Maverick. Brett Phillips was on base. So he's jogging to third base, and he kind of does a leap into the air. Then he touches third base and twirls in the air. I was like, okay, I'm down with that's kind of like the old Royals. The 2014 and 15 Royals, just celebrating, having fun. It's a meaningless game against the worst team in baseball, the Orioles, and you're the second worst team in baseball. But it was fun. It's fun.
I guess. I don't know. They look kind of like clowns.
Yeah. There's nothing else to there's really not much
well,
else
when
to
you win
it.
So infrequently, I can understand the jubilation that comes with an actual walk-off win. And
yeah.
You still play a lot of baseball games. But, man, they're ruining their opportunity to get Bobby
yeah,
Witt.
That's gone.
Bobby Witt is the next superstar. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
That's right. Put him in there.
Yep. He's 1,000 home runs. Going to hit break whatever Pete Rose's record is.
Yeah.
Can't remember
the
numbers.
The Nationals drafted Bryce Harper, number one overall. They drafted the pitcher.
Steven Strasburg.
Steven Strasburg, number one overall. How far did that get them? No playoff wins, right? No series wins, pardon me.
No, they went to the playoffs a lot, though.
Yeah, but they no series wins. Playoff series wins. They didn't even get to the World Series because you have to have a series win before you get to the World Series. So that was fun, watching the Royals win. As I said, Sporting lost. Chiefs got their cuts in. So where do you want to start? We can go with the Chiefs cuts in the final roster, or we can go college football. I think college football would be the choice because it's the freshest thing. The Chiefs cuts came out yesterday afternoon, and there's not really a lot of shock on there. I said it last week. If you got cut, you should not be surprised. You shouldn't. The only about the only player I was a little, and I'm not going to say surprised, but the only player I thought, huh, was Chase Litton, the quarterback, the undrafted quarterback from Marshall. I thought he performed well enough to either earn a spot on the practice squad, which could still happen.
Sure.
Or even get that third spot, but they wanted to go with Matt McGloin, the experience at number three.
Well, with the explosive performance he showed on Thursday night.
Oh, how could you not? I mean, he forced the Chiefs to make that decision.
Absolutely, yeah, he certainly forced their hand. I guess I was a little bit surprised by Eligue being cut and Jehu Chesson both draft picks. And
yep.
I know that guys you can easily replace, but still
yep.
draft well. Picks. Nevertheless, in recent draft picks, and then Chase Litton, the other guy, I know everybody's going to laugh and be like, oh, you're insane, was David Amerson.
You're insane.
I know. I'm not saying that his play on the field warranted him not being cut because that guy sucked. But the fact that they just signed him and he's going to count against the cap, against dead money. So
well,
I was a little bit surprised there, but it's all fixed now. They traded Parker Anger and got another corner from the Cowboys, so it's all fixed. We don't need to panic.
Nope. All done. All ready to go for the season opener against the Chargers next week. So, yeah, Eligue got turned around and was out of position way too much. You can't have it.
I'm not saying that the play on the field warranted right. them not being
right.
cut. I'm
right.
saying the investment in the draft capital
right.
is a little bit troubling to me, and
it
one of the
be.
Things that we'll
yeah.
keep our eye on. We'll talk with Nate Taylor about that.
Should be. I am very happy that Ben Neiman made it, the undrafted rookie
yeah,
out of
boy.
Iowa. I've been pounding that drum since they drafted him because I watch a lot of Iowa football, and Iowa players, particularly defensive players, are always sound, fundamental football players. They're assignment sound, and Ben Neiman proved that. In the four exhibition games. You know what? I think exhibition games are routinely boring, but they're for the guys that I like to watch, like Ben Neiman, he went out and proved it. He went out and got a spot. He went out and earned it. And I was joking with Brad G. from the Chiefs PR staff at training camp in St. Joe 4 weeks ago, whatever it started. I said, if Ben Neiman makes the roster, I may have to get a personalized jersey. And he kind of laughed because he's an Iowa State guy, Brad G. is. He kind of laughed like, oh, okay. And now I'm trapped because I don't have the $300 to spend on a personalized jersey, whatever they cost. They're outrageous. NFL.com. So, if they come out with a jersey.
A Ben Neiman jersey?
Ben Neiman jersey.
If anywhere would have it, it would be Rally House.
Rally House.
So I'd go and check there first.
Okay.
I know that they have just about every jersey you could want, and they're obviously a great sponsor of our station.
Yep.
So yeah, I'd go and check there, man.
Well, I'm sure when the doors open at 9 or 10 o'clock this morning down on the plaza, there'll be a line of Hawkeye fans down there demanding their Ben Neiman t-shirt jersey.
Can't say I blame them.
No, can't. I'll be down there. If you get the jersey, if you get the t-shirt jersey for Ben Neiman, I'm down there. I'm down. We'll have to see if it works out. So let's start with college football. Where do you want to start here? Mizzou, K-State, or KU? Because
Let's start with Missouri because I think it's the quickest.
Get them out of the way, yeah. Mizzou 51-14 over UT Martin. And I've got all the box scores here. Got them lined up before the show. And let's see. Of course, we all want to hear about Drew Locke and his numbers. Didn't throw it a lot. 19 of 25, 289 yards, 4 touchdowns. Get him out of the game. He got his touchdowns. Get him out. The backup, Taylor Powell. 4 for 9, 105 yards. Rushing game, they like to divide up the carries. Larry Roundtree, 14 carries, 59 yards. Touchdown. DeMar Crockett, 12 carries, 46 yards. And a touchdown. Tyler Batty, 10 carries, 33 yards, no touchdowns. Now, the rushing averages aren't that great, 4.1, 3.5, 3.2, but it was serviceable enough. They have some things to work on. The defense was, I think, the thing that most Mizzou fans worried about. And granted, it's UT Martin, but we remember what happened last year in that first game. Missouri defense got smoked. So Mizzou is off to a good start. Drew Locke is off to a good start. Not quite in the Heisman conversation yet, considering what happened at West Virginia yesterday, or to West Virginia. But Mizzou, good start. Not much to say. Not much in that game. Roll down to K-State. Nervous moments for K-State fans throughout this game as they were trailing South Dakota for a good part of that second half. Came back, about what, 6.5 minutes left to go. Skylar Thompson, 10-yard pass to Zuber, who I think is a good receiver. And they win it 27-24. Defense held up at the end. It's a little closer than you like, but isn't that typical of a Bill Snyder team in one of those non-conference games? Make it a little closer than it needs to be, figure some things out, and then go back to the film room and break it down?
That was exactly my thought, is that Bill Snyder, they have the big matchup next week against Mississippi State, that he's going to be so bland and not show anything. South Dakota is a good opponent that K-State was playing. I know they're at the FCS level, but still one of the better teams in at that level of play. So, yeah, I think it was just one of those things where Bill Snyder knew he had enough in the bag at the end to be like, all right, well, I'll create something because I'm a wizard, and we'll score a touchdown and win the game, and there will be a nervous moment, but I'll have plenty of teaching moments. And then when I install a completely different game plan for Mississippi State, and they have no idea what to expect, we'll win that game handily. Isn't that how it goes? I mean, isn't that what Bill Snyder does?
That's a script, that's a script. He's been doing it long enough. Okay.
I'm bullish on K-State this year.
I got a couple of things in the bag. If we really need them at the end, we'll pull them out. We'll win this game. I think you're right. I think Bill Snyder is supremely confident that they were going to find a way to win that game, and they did. And they mixed their quarterbacks, which we expected, Skylar Thompson and Alex Delton. I was a little surprised that Skylar Thompson, who started the game, came out after that first drive because basically it was handoffs on the first drive. So he didn't really do anything to warrant coming out of the game unless it was just Bill Snyder's playing the hokey-pokey with both of them. Now you're in, now you're out, and it didn't matter what happened.
I think it's all just in an effort to kind of confuse and not really show any particular patterns in game one. The guy who's going to throw the ball presumably more often, you run the ball three times. Stuff like that.
Well, by the numbers for the two quarterbacks here, Alex Delton, 5 for 14, 91 yards, got picked once, got sacked once. Skylar Thompson, 8 for 14, 61 yards, one touchdown, one pick, and sacked twice. So they didn't throw the ball a whole lot. They threw it 28 times. That's K-State football. They threw it 28 times. They rushed it 47 times for 278 yards, averaged almost 5.5 yards a crack on the run. That's what they do. Alex Barnes, 21 carries, 109 yards. Averaged almost 5 yards a carry. Alex Delton, quarterback, rushed it 12 times for 83 yards. That's what they do. 6.5 yards a carry. Skylar Thompson, quarterback, 11 carries, 69 yards, 5.3 yards per carry. Dalvin Warmack, the Kansas City kid, Blue Springs, 3 carries, 17 yards, averaged 5.7. So that's K-State. Nice little bow on that. Got the win, got out. Hopefully no injuries. And now we come to Kansas. Man alive. I was over there to do the KU football game day show on the deck out of Bullwinkle's, which was great. Guys at Bullwinkle's are awesome over there. Thank you for having us once again. Oh, boy. Oh, man. Here's the thing. Most of the fans who were there at Bullwinkle's, I guess I should call it the Bull because that's what everybody calls it, right?
Yeah, don't stop calling it Bullwinkle's. I know that's the
logo. It's the name on the front, but it's the Bull. Okay,
it's the Bull.
So it's the Bull. Okay. So all the people at the Bull were generally enthusiastic about the start of the season. I was surprised at how many young kids, college kids, wear polo shirts to the football games. KU polo shirts.
Yeah, that's kind of a bro-ish thing to do. It's certainly a fraternity-based thing.
I did have to walk by. I don't know if it was a frat house or a house that held 57 dudes. It was one of the two, but they had like 30 guys out on the front porch blasting music and pounding beers, and they were all wearing polo shirts. So, yeah, that's a bro thing. Yeah.
Yep.
College bro.
Yep.
What's up, bro? It's got some brewskis, got some music, got some KU football. Let's go.
Yep.
Going down to the bowl first.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it.
So the fans were pretty enthusiastic, and I had so many nice people stop and say hello, and they like the shows and all that. They love 810, so good stuff from the fans. I don't think anybody expected KU to walk past Nichols or to win easily, but I would say 80% of the folks were confident KU would get a win. Now, Charlie Carlin, who was out there with me at the end of the show, said, the spread is 8.5. KU minus 8.5. Would you take that? And I said, I might take it, but not with my own money.
Yeah, God, no. Why would you?
No. So the Nichols crushed the spread. Overtime, 26-23. Kansas loses to Nichols. Do you know how much Nichols got paid to come in and play Kansas? Darren Revelle posted this on his Twitter account.
I did not see this. If I had to hazard a guess, let's say $750,000.
Not that much.
$300,000?
$450,000.
Huh. It was a nice afternoon then.
Close to half of David Beatty's salary they paid to Nichols to come in and beat him.
That's a low blow there, Brad.
It is. At Brad K. Porter. So not only $450,000, after the game, or during the game, several, what would you call it, glitches in the matrix, bad decisions, things that left you going, what? What is going on here?
Most people just call them KU football moments.
Okay. How about two timeouts before fourth down decisions? We're going to burn up. We've got fourth down. We don't know what to do. We've had spring football. We've had practices. We are ready to play week one against Nichols. Good to go. Nope, we're not sure what to do on fourth down. We don't know what play to call. We don't know what we want to do in the down versus distance. We're not sure. We're not confident. Let's take a timeout and think about it. I'll give you that the one time. You do it twice, that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Yes, sir.
And if I'm Jeff Long, the new director of athletics at Kansas, who yesterday marked his one-month anniversary on the job, and I saw that. And Jeff Long knows football. He's coached it. He's played it. If I watched that, I would be seriously looking at that list in my desk. Every AD has a list of the next head coach. Carl Peterson used to say that when he was the GM of the Chiefs. Every GM, every AD has a list in their desk of who they want, who's on their wish list to be the next head coach.
Is this on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Next question. Cap and Cash. They also called a timeout before the first play of a possession. Are you kidding me? You are getting the ball back. It's going to be first and 10, right? Unless there's a penalty. It's going to be first and 10. Don't know what to do. Second guessing myself. Second guessing the offensive coordinator. Not sure what personnel I want on the field. Call a timeout before the first play. They tried the Peyton Bender's going to start. Miles Kendrick is going to play a little bit experiment. Miles Kendrick barely played. He came in for that one series. But guess when Miles Kendrick came into the game? After sitting for 3.5 quarters. When does Miles Kendrick come back? What's a good spot for Miles Kendrick to come back into the game? And this is not anything against Miles Kendrick. This goes back to coaching. When's the perfect spot to get Miles Kendrick back in this game? Do a little something. When do you want him out there? Okay. How about overtime? We get the ball first. Run the first play.
Yeah.
Run the second play.
Yeah.
3rd and 6. Need some points. What are we going to do? Peyton Bender's out there. Nope. Peyton Bender, you're out. Miles Kendrick is in on the biggest play of the game. Biggest play of the game. And again, that's not a lot. That's not a knock on Miles Kendrick or Peyton Bender. That's a coaching decision. And I'm reading from Jesse Newell's article from KCStar.com. David Beatty said about that play, we got into a set where we knew we could possibly crease them on a little run play in there with him, meaning Miles Kendrick. As we look back at it, we felt like we were in pretty good shape. They twisted us up a little bit. We should have been able to pick it up. How about not putting in the kid who just got there on the biggest play of the game? Would that have helped?
No.
I don't know. Probably not. Why am I screaming about Kansas football? I should not be surprised by this. None of us should be surprised by this. But this is year four, man. Year four. And look, I didn't go to KU, so I'm not on my high horse because I expected great things from him. But my God, man, year four. And we're calling two timeouts on fourth down plays, a timeout before the first play of a possession. And we're putting in the backup quarterback who sat for three quarters in on third and six in overtime on the biggest play of the game.
That's how you draw it up.
What in the H-E double hockey sticks is going on?
That's how you get to 3-34.
That's exactly how you get to 3-34, Jed Marshall.
And I think you prove that you don't know what you're doing as a head coach. At this point, David Beatty is out of excuses. Whether it be the scholarships, and I understand that Kansas football is and remains in a terrible place. Whether it was the lack of foresight and direction that the coaches prior to David Beatty had. He inherited a terrible position. I understand all of that. Unfortunately, it's year four. Like you had just said, you're out of excuses. All of the kids are yours. All of the coaches are yours.
You have 25 seniors. They're bright. We got 25 seniors this year.
You're also mortgaging the future by bringing in all of these junior college guys and leaving the position in a terrible position for the next coach. So he's doing the exact same thing, and you're still not winning games.
Right. Well, it gets even better. And Jesse Newell's coming on at 11:30 to talk about this. It gets even better. The defense. Again, this is Jesse Newell on the Kansas City Star. Disorganization on defense. Too often, KU's defensive linemen were standing as the ball was snapped while trying to quickly process the play call from the sideline, leaving them little chance of getting the leverage needed to outmuscle the person in front of them. Outmuscle Nichols. Daniel Wise took responsibility after the game, said it was difficult to believe that part of this game should be, or said it was part of his fault. He said they definitely took advantage of the things that we messed up.
And just real quick, I feel bad for Daniel Wise.
I do too. He could have gone to the NFL and been away from this mess. And so should, and Joe Denine Jr. could
and
have
Mike
been
Lee.
Here. Mike Lee is going to be a, I'm not going to call him a star in the NFL. He's going to be a solid player in the NFL.
We Chiefs were are looking talking for last night.
Yep.
Daryl Stuckey.
Daryl Stuckey. Could be the next Daryl Stuckey. He had a nice long career. Special teams captain with the Chargers. Good, super good dude. And Joe Denine, in the article that Jesse Newell wrote, after all the reporters had cleared out of the media room, Joe Denine's sitting there with his head in his hands, just like clutching his hair, like, what in the heck is going on?
And that's a kid whose whole family went to KU.
There's
like
unlimited Denines.
I was going to say, whenever he ends up leaving, I'm sure they're just going to be like, oh, here's the next one who's going to play linebacker for 4 years. Yeah. So he bleeds crimson and blue for sure. You know, poor kid. You do hurt for all of the kids because you know they're trying. And for all of the bad stuff that has gone on the field in years past, hope always kind of, you know, rings eternal or whatever, springs eternal, whatever
yes,
the expression.
Springs.
Sure. But, you know, it's game one, and to lose at home, the one game that fans were
should
like
be a
pumped
lock.
Up.
Should be a lock.
Oh, yeah, it just stinks.
And I understand. They scheduled this game, what, 3 or 4 years ago when they had lost 18 in a row?
Irregardless,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're right. It doesn't matter. You should be better than this. And look, if you're a Kansas fan and you think I'm purposely picking on Kansas, I'm not. I'm just telling you the way I see it. And that was...
I am a Kansas fan.
You are. Jed Marshall, our producer, is a Kansas fan. He knows that
I don't take
cheap shots at anybody. My football team, UMKC, if you've followed this Twitter account, at UMKC Football, UMKC went out and played two football games yesterday and beat two Power 5 teams. Okay, full disclosure, it's a parody account, but it's pretty damn funny. Therese Paylor used to work at the Star. Now he's at Yahoo Sports, is the fictitious head coach, and routinely tweets out about the team. It's fun stuff. So UMKC's 2-0. How about that? On that note, we're coming up on a timeout here. Dave Nielsen, fantasy football expert, used to host a TV show called The Fantasy Huddle, is going to join us. So if you got some fantasy football questions or you need some advice, if you haven't got your team together yet, or you're looking for roster moves, whatever it is, Dave Nielsen is going to tell us about it next. You are listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Summertime. I like that one. That's a good one. Nailed it, Jed Marshall.
Probably one of the last times I'll be able to use it because summer ends tomorrow.
Oh, well, not in Kansas City. It does. On the calendar, it does.
Yeah, on the calendar. Yeah. So put away your white, Brad.
Yep. Done. Labor Day. That's it. I'm out. I don't really wear white t-shirts or white pants like the golfers wear. The pro golfers like to wear the white dress pants. I don't have any white pants. I don't have to worry about it.
White pants and boat shoes, Brad.
I'm a fashion disaster. I mean, basically, give me a t-shirt and a hoodie. Give me a t-shirt and a hoodie and a pair of whatever shorts have the most pockets. I'm a dad, and they're dad shorts.
But what do you use the extra pockets for?
I put my phone in one pocket. I put my change in another pocket. I put my money clip in another pocket. And then I have two or three available for order. I put my keys in my back pocket. So I use four different pockets.
Wow.
If I'm wearing my high fashion shorts, then it's an issue. Then I'm putting stuff, I guess I'm just not taking as much with me. I don't need it.
Or here's the solution. You also carry a backpack with you. Why don't you just put all of your stuff in your backpack?
I could. And I'm like, I love when I go, like when I went over to KU yesterday, I'm walking down the street with my backpack on and I'm like, no. I'm not the old guy trying to pretend and hold on, I'm still in college with my backpack. It's because I carry all my crap in a backpack.
Hey, my uncle is actually, he's retired, but he lives in Macomb, Illinois, and he is taking college classes. He's 78 years old.
Hey,
so
good for him.
You're younger than him.
My boy Blue.
Literally, yeah.
Love you, Blue. Speaking of my boy Blue, we're going to bring in Dave Nielsen, fantasy football expert. I used to host a show called Fantasy Huddle on the channel formerly known as Metro Sports, and we worked there for many years together. Dave, you're 1 week away from fantasy, I guess less than a week away now from fantasy football. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, brother. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. How you been doing, Brad?
I am doing good.
Thanks for the fashion tips there. Yeah, really enjoyed that there.
You know me. When we used to work together, I used to get called into the boss's office every so often, like, is that what you're really wearing? And I said, well, I don't need the suit and tie unless I'm on camera, so... Does it really matter? Well, yes, it does. It says right here in the handbook. Okay, well, let me tell
you
something.
That's why you're on radio now.
That's right.
You're on radio now.
Let me tell you something about the handbook. How many fantasy football leagues are you in, Dave Nielsen?
This season, I'm in eight leagues.
Wow. How do you manage that?
It used to be a lot more than that.
Wow.
When you got a computer, that's how you manage it all. It's pretty easy from there.
By the way, if you want to follow Dave, you can follow him on Twitter, @TheFantasyGiant. So you've got your eight teams, and I know there's different leagues that require different things or where certain positions are above the others. But for a generic fantasy league, and by the way, if you want some fantasy advice, you can call in 913-38-10-810. Most people have gone through their drafts, but there's still transactions to make. If you're in a standard league or a PPR league, which positions are the best to go with, in your opinion?
Well, look, at the beginning of any draft, because the running backs, there is not as much depth at the running back position. Obviously, your first five picks in any draft usually are running backs. When you look at wide receiver position, obviously, there's so much depth at the wide receiver position that usually, at least in this season, what I have noticed is Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell.
Yes.
Kareem Hunt and LeGarrette,
Blunt?
The guy from Jacksonville.
Oh, Leonard Fournette?
Yes, Leonard Fournette. Thank you. Those guys are going in like the first five picks, especially Gurley and Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, those two are the two guys who are being taken one and two in every league that I've been in so far.
And I've noticed that trend, too. That's why I was kind of scratching my head because, you know, it wasn't just a few years ago when if you had the number one pick, oh, Tom Brady. Oh, Aaron Rodgers. Those are the... Or Matthew Stafford, who puts up huge numbers. That used to be the way it was, but now it's the running backs who are dominating.
Well, especially in the PPR league, those running backs who can catch out of the backfield, obviously, with Gurley and Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, definitely those guys are the first two picks. And as you're talking about with quarterbacks, now a lot of those quarterbacks are putting up those type of numbers. So that's why quarterbacks kind of tend to go farther down the list. Probably Aaron Rodgers is usually the first quarterback taken, and then probably Drew Brees. But usually, you know, in a standard league, those guys don't get taken until probably around three or four.
So your running backs, I mean, the obvious choices are, as you mentioned, Gurley and Le'Veon Bell and even Kareem Hunt. And the kid down at New Orleans is going to be on the top of a lot of
people. Alvin Kamara.
Kamara is going to be on the top of a lot of charts. So I guess with most of the drafts already done, people are looking at transactions, and maybe somebody's loaded at running back and you can make a move, or maybe you can pick up somebody on the waiver wire. Who are some of your sleeper picks at running back, guys you want to pile up a ton of points with?
Well, I'll tell you one guy for sure right now that you probably want to jump on is Alfred Morris for the San Francisco 49ers. Yesterday, Jerick McKinnon, the starting running back for the 49ers, went down for the season with a torn ACL. Now it's going to be Alfred Morris and Matt Breida. And I'm sure Breida was drafted in most leagues, whereas Alfred Morris probably was not. Morris would be the guy right now that you would want to jump on in the waiver wires and get him, because I think he is going to be the guy who now replaces Jerick McKinnon for the 49ers, and definitely with Shanahan there, they'll definitely use Alfred Morris. So I think Morris is a big sleeper pick right now that's on the waiver wires for sure.
And Alfred Morris is a guy that, honestly, I kind of forget about, because he's a pretty good running back in this league. He has been. And then, you know, kind of fell off a little bit and then goes to San Francisco. He's going to be the backup. And so I kind of blew it off. Like, oh, and then when I saw the injury, I was like, hey, Alfred Morris is there. So
yep.
He's a guy that's done it before.
Definitely. He's a guy who's done it before, had a lot of success with Washington. Again, I think he is the guy who now will take over for McKinnon there, since he went down with a knee injury for the season.
With Todd Gurley being the number one running back, is some of that, you know, because he's been great, but he's had an off season here or there once in a while. But is part of the desire to get him number one overall the fact that the Rams have rebuilt so much over the last couple of years and they look poised to, I don't know, possibly make a deep run in the playoffs or even, dare I say it, play for a Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, what you have to look at Gurley is yes, he had that sophomore slump. He came out his rookie season, great season, and then his second year, he had a sophomore slump. Last season, he rebounded, and I knew he would. He's in a great offense. He can catch out of the backfield. PPR leagues, I would probably tend to go with Gurley over Le'Veon Bell. Bell has done it more, but again, Gurley, if you look at it this way, his first three seasons, he's remained pretty healthy, whereas Bell, there's still a little bit of an injury bug all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But with Gurley, he's been pretty sturdy for his first three seasons in the NFL.
All right, I asked for your sleeper pick, and you gave me Alfred Morris of the 49ers. Is there a running back you would stay away from? Maybe you've got this guy, and he's been overrated, and you want to get away from him. Is there a guy to get away from?
Yeah, definitely one guy you got to look at, I think, is going to be on a down year this year would be LeSean McCoy of the Buffalo Bills. Last couple years has put up some good numbers. Last year, over 1,000 yards, had close to 60 receptions there. But again, he's 30. I think he's on the downside. I think there's so much focus on him on that offense this year with the quarterback in pretty much a big disarray, big question mark.
Right.
Who's going to be the starter. I think defenses are going to zero in on LeSean McCoy, and I think this is the year where he starts to decline.
Right, and the Bills are just not very good. They're not going to help him at all. We're speaking with Dave Nielsen, host of the Fantasy Huddle, which used to be on Metro Sports for many years, nationally syndicated fantasy football show. Dave's in eight leagues, which is crazy. All right, so the quarterbacks are slipping down a little bit, I guess, this year. Maybe the trend began last year or the year before. So the quarterbacks are sliding down a little bit. But is it still Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and everybody else? Or are there other quarterbacks that are climbing up over those guys?
Well, I would think you'd put Drew Brees on that list. I also am a big fan of Russell Wilson this season. If they can give Russell Wilson some protection there in Seattle, I think he can put up some big numbers. And if you look at it, probably the last 8 weeks, last season, he probably was one of the top five quarterbacks in all fantasy football. So I do like Russell Wilson as well. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, those are usually the first three guys that are taken off the board. I think Matt Ryan rebounds a little bit this year. Last year only had 20 touchdowns after his MVP season of 38. I think he rebounds this season there with Atlanta. I think he puts up some bigger numbers. So, yeah, those are guys. When you're looking at the quarterbacks, you know, again, there's depth there that you can wait quite a while to take a quarterback. I mean, you were saying Matthew Stafford earlier. I mean, that's a guy who can be taken in round 10. He's still there in round 10. And so, obviously, quarterbacks, there's so much depth that you should be fine. And also, you know, Andrew Luck coming back this season. Hopefully he can rebound as well from the injury that took him out all of last season.
All right, we're talking fantasy football with Dave Nielsen here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, Chiefs fans can look at two quarterbacks purely out of fan interest, and maybe if they're there, you pick them up. Number one, Patrick Mahomes, the second. And, you know, I think he's going to throw more interceptions probably in the 13 to 14 range than what we've seen in the past, but he's a guy you may want to take. But don't overlook Alex Smith. I mean, what, he was number four in fantasy football last year? Now he's with Washington. Okay, they're not a great team, but Alex Smith could be in the mix if you're looking for a guy, and Patrick Mahomes if you want to take a chance.
Well, I'm not on the Mahomes hype train like okay. Everybody else is in this city is. Now, I understand why. Hey, he's a Chief, and we're in Kansas City. I understand that. Look, I think this guy is going to put up some numbers. He's got a lot of talent around him with Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Kareem Hunt in the backfield, and Kelce as well. So I think, yes, Mahomes is going to have some great games, but he's also going to have his bad games. And you know, right now what I've seen of that defense, definitely the Chiefs are going to have to come out there and put up 30 points a game. So I think if you're looking at Mahomes, he is definitely more of a sleeper candidate this season. He's a sleeper. He's going to be boom or bust some weeks. But, yeah, I like Mahomes. Again, as he plays in his third and fourth season, I think he's going to put up big numbers. But I think this first season, we need to kind of ease on back and just see what he's actually going to do. In regards to Alex Smith, you know, I'm not sold on Smith this season. I just don't think he has the talent there in Washington. I mean, who's his running back there? Adrian Peterson right now?
Yeah.
How old is he? 50?
His knees are 50.
Old, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sold on Alex Smith this season with the Washington Redskins. I would take Mahomes over Alex Smith because I think there is more upside there as the season goes on.
All right, if you're looking to start a quarterback here in week one, and again, it depends on your personnel, but if you've got Phillip Rivers, let's say you have two good quarterbacks and one of them is Phillip Rivers, don't you have to start him against the Chiefs secondary that they're going to put out this week?
Oh, yeah. Look, I like Phillip Rivers. I always have. I think this is a guy who consistently puts up over 4,000 yards a season, 25 touchdowns. Now, obviously, his defense did him no favors there for a couple seasons, and basically he tried to do too much, and those interceptions were pretty high. But this season, I think San Diego's got a pretty good defense, Bosa and Ingram. I think they'll get after the quarterback. I think that's going to help him out as well. I also think – with what he has there right now, if you look at it, his tight end, Hunter Henry, went down for the season with a knee injury. Antonio Gates, there's still a lot of question marks there. There's going to be a lot of three wide receiver sets this season for Phillip Rivers with Keenan Allen, Tyrell Williams, and the second-year wide receiver, Mike Williams. So I really like Phillip Rivers. Definitely like him week one against the Kansas City Chiefs, and I like him throughout the season as well.
All right, we're talking fantasy football with Dave Nielsen. He used to host a show called Fantasy Huddle on the channel formerly known as Metro Sports. Wide receiver, how high has Tyreek Hill been going, and what would we expect from him on a weekly basis? I mean, obviously he's a top guy, but where's he been going in most leagues?
Well, Tyreek Hill, most leagues, has been going. He's a top 10 wide receiver right now, so he's usually going in the late second round, early third round in most leagues that I have been in. Look, again, Hill is in that situation where, you know, he's going to have those games where he puts up monster numbers. I mean, that play that he had with Mahomes a couple weeks ago, amazing. So I do like Tyreek Hill. Some people are down on him this season. They think, you know, it's going to take for time for him and Mahomes to gel. But I think Mahomes, with that long ball, I think Tyreek Hill is going to have some pretty good games there for the Chiefs. So So I agree. He should be taking the late second round, early third round in most leagues.
I'm kind of tainted a little bit by having watched the Hard Knocks with the Cleveland Browns, which has been fantastic because, I mean, it has the potential to be a total disaster this year. Watching their head coach try to deal with the assistants on the staff, Hugh Jackson, watching him try to
hasn't it been a disaster for like 25 years?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you have volatile personalities like Todd Haley and Greg Williams mixed in with a guy who's trying to be, you know, Mr. Nice Guy, it's not going to end well. But because of that, I'm fascinated with Jarvis Landry. Is he put up huge numbers with the Miami Dolphins, and for some reason, I guess they didn't want to keep him, or maybe he was going to cost too much, but he ends up in Cleveland. Could be going with Baker Mayfield as the starter. It might be Tyrod Taylor, however it works out. But Jarvis Landry intrigues me. Is he worth a high pick considering who he plays for?
Right now, no, he's not worth a high pick. I would say rounds 8, 9, or 10. In a PPR league, that's where Jarvis Landry excels in. If you look at it, I mean, over 100 receptions the last couple of seasons. When it comes to his yards and touchdowns, no, he's down on those numbers usually. So for me, if you're in a PPR league, yes, you definitely want to get Landry. But most leagues, I would say, you know, round 8, 9, or 10 for Jarvis Landry. And, again, it's Cleveland, so you never, you know, I'd be scared just because it's Cleveland.
And you can say that about anything.
Yeah.
Talking fantasy football with Dave Nielsen. If you've have you got your draft already done, or you're trying to decide who to start, let us know. 913-381-1810. That's 913-381-1810. Tight ends, I think it's pretty much Rob Gronkowski, Travis Kelce, and everybody else. But are there some sleepers that you're kind of looking at?
You know, one guy that I'll throw out there that probably isn't drafted in most leagues is Austin Seferian-Jenkins for the New York Jets. Sam Darnold, the rookie quarterback, obviously is going to need a security blanket this season, and that would be the guy there for the New York Jets. So I think Austin Seferian-Jenkins, he's always been on that cusp of maybe breaking out. I think every season we think this guy's breaking out. I think this is the chance he has here with the Jets. You know, Darnold's definitely going to check down a lot, so I think Austin Seferian-Jenkins will reap the benefits with Darnold in his rookie season.
All right, we know you probably want to stay as far away from a Chiefs defense as you can, but is there a sleeper defense out there? Who are the couple of the top defenses for fantasy football, and who are a couple of sleeper defenses for fantasy football?
Well, obviously, the Jaguars probably
right, number one.
The top defense taken. Obviously, probably the Rams and Minnesota. Those are probably the top three defenses being taken. I'll tell you a defense that has went down a little bit, but they still have talent, and that would be the Denver Broncos. You know, with the talent they have, last year was a down season for them. But I think they're going to rebound this year. I think, you know, a good offense helps your defense as well. So I think the Broncos, they're actually being drafted out of the top 10 defenses. So you can definitely get them in later rounds. So I like the Broncos to rebound this season.
Sleeper pick Broncos defense. I like that. Finally, special teams / kickers. I think that's the way most leagues label it. You get one with the other. So the top special teams kickers. And maybe a couple of sleepers to look at as well. I got to think Harrison Butker, the Chiefs, is pretty high up there as far as special teams and kickers.
Brad, I don't worry about kickers. That's the last round pick. There are no sleepers when it comes to kickers, Brad.
Okay. What about special teams? You got a couple of sleepers for special teams?
Well, again, special teams goes with your defense. So,
right. And I mixed it up. I said special teams and kickers. I meant special teams and defense. Right.
Yes. So, definitely you stick with the top defenses, and, you know, your special teams are going to work out as well from there.
And there are no sleepers for kickers. I love that line. I'm going to have to that should be when you start your own website, that'll be at the top of the page. There are no sleepers when it comes to kickers. Before I let you go, Jed Marshall, our producer, has a fantasy football question for you. Jed?
Dave, this is actually for my brother-in-law. He texted me right at the beginning of the segment, and he wants to know, should he keep Antonio Bryant for $42 or Todd Gurley for $44 in his keeper league? It's PPR, 12 teams, $200 budget.
So Antonio Brown or Todd Gurley?
Yeah, Antonio Brown at 42 and Todd Gurley at 44. A PPR league, so I'm not sure if that makes any difference for you.
Well, I would go ahead and lean towards Gurley, obviously, because he's the younger player. So that's what I would go with. PPR league, I mean, yes, Brown's going to put up some big numbers in PPR, but so will Gurley. And if you have a running back who can catch the ball, well, that's huge in any fantasy league. So I would stick with Todd Gurley.
Well, there you go. My brother-in-law will be very pleased. So, Eric, I did my good deed for the day. Thanks, Dave.
Well, that's good. I'm glad I can keep you in your brother-in-law's good graces.
Hey, Dave Nielsen, I appreciate your time so much. We worked for many years together at Metro Sports. I think you're a super good dude. And hopefully, maybe we can talk about making this a regular feature on the weekends, and we'll get people some fantasy tips. How about that?
Yeah, I'd love it, brother. Anytime, Brad.
All right, fantastic. That is Dave Nielsen, super nice guy, heavy fantasy football guy, did a nationally syndicated show called Fantasy Huddle with Chris Goff, and Katie Falco was on there. Herbie Teope was on there at one point, who covered the Chiefs, and now he's down at – is he at NFL.com now? He was at the New Orleans.
Yeah, he was at the Picayune for a while.
Times Picayune for a while. He might be NFL.com right now, but he's another nice guy.
Super nice guy.
Herbie Teope was part of that show. On that note, we will take a timeout. We'll come back and wrap things up for this hour. Coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, Nate Taylor from The Athletic KC will join us. We'll talk Chiefs cuts and what to expect coming up next week against the Chargers. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. We're live in the Rally House studios, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You gotta let that one build a little bit. Love that. This was a great video. Beat It, Michael Jackson, back in the mid eight, probably 84, 85.
Not sure. I've obviously seen it many times on MTV, but yeah, with the like West Side Story kind of vibe going on.
And the story was, when that video came out, they were like, "No, the guys in the video," because it was two street gangs, but they were very well choreographed. The story that came out, I think it was Urban Legend, was, no, they brought in these two L.A. street gangs. They were big rivals, and they hated each other, and they taught them these dance moves, and they did this video with Michael Jackson. You're like, are you serious? Well, they had to have extra security on the set to protect Michael Jackson. They just didn't have security.
The Straight Outta Compton movie would present a different way.
Very different.
That really tough gangsters went at it in L.A.
Pretty sure they were not real street gangs.
No. If so, they're very well
good for them.
Trained in dancing.
Good for them.
Smart men who could pick up choreography quickly.
Should have had better security when they shot that Pepsi commercial and they lit Michael Jackson's hair on fire.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah. You know, you search that. Michael Jackson Pepsi commercial. They were filming it as a bit, and they had these pyrotechnics. And it was, I think it was part of the Jackson's Victory Tour, which started right here in Kansas City, which I went to when I was a kid. It was awesome.
Sounds like it.
They got the Jacksons back together with Michael Jackson, and they were filming a Pepsi commercial. I'm not sure if, I don't think it was the one with, no, it wasn't the one with Alfonso Ribeiro. That was the one that was outside. But this one, he comes out on the stage, and they blow off this torch. It's, you know, a typical stage act. And all of a sudden, Michael Jackson's hair was on fire. And he didn't know it. And they had to, like, run up to him. And, like, I don't know if they threw a blanket on him or what. But, so, yeah. Michael Jackson's hair caught on fire shooting a Pepsi commercial. If you're coming to the show to learn things that maybe you didn't know because you're a little bit younger, and there you go. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Okay. Take one quick phone call before the top of the hour. Tommy Moe, regular listener to the show. Tommy, how are you on this Sunday?
Real quick, it used to be the old days when Joe Posnanski called for a manager's or a coach's head. It was time for him to go.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new revelation. When Brad Porter cusses on the radio, it's time for you to go.
What did I say? I don't think I said anything bad.
H-E-double-L,
yeah, Brad,
man.
Said hell.
Well, no, I said it in the right way to say it.
That's... I know you did, but you said it in a very polite way. But when you're a good guy.
Yeah,
you're not a
I think
rant and raver. But when Brad Porter comes on the radio, and has to spell out a cuss word,
right,
it's probably time.
Well, look, I'm not in the habit of calling for coaches' jobs. I just for some reason it just goes against what my general personality. But just look at the state of the program. If you're a Kansas fan or you're the director of athletics at Kansas, just look at the state of the program, what's happened the last 3 years, and what you saw yesterday against Nichols. And then you should arrive at your own conclusion. I think you should be very frustrated. So
that was bad football all the way around.
It was.
Things you pointed out.
Yep.
Bad snaps. It was just bad football. And four years into a program, the fans, I'm a Missouri guy. They deserve a lot better than that.
So absolutely.
Hey, you guys have a great morning.
All right. Thank you, Tommy Moe. Appreciate you. Always listening. We're coming up on a timeout here. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Nate Taylor from the Athletic KC going to join us and talk Chiefs final cuts, the final roster, and what to expect against the Chargers. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is here. You're listening to Sports Sunday live in the Rally House Studios on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.